Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Thank you for praying thank you for thanking God that He's prepared my heart and mind to speak. I have what I call preacher nightmares sometimes. In fact, we were talking at lunch, at dinner tonight about dreams that we sometimes have related to our work. And my preacher nightmare is that I will periodically dream that I'm a guest speaker somewhere, and they introduce me, and I walk up, and just as I'm coming to the podium, like the podium's here, I'm right about here, and suddenly it dawns on me that I completely forgot I was going to be speaking at that event. And there was like it's panic, believe me. Like we were sharing those stories at dinner. It's great to have my daughter Meredith and her husband Danny. They've just finished their year and a half assignment, missions assignment in Brussels, and they're back. And so it's great to have you here, Meredith and Danny. And of course, she was telling her being a nurse dreams, and it's pretty gory. It's not good. Sitting beside them is Kathy Whitty, who was... Kathy, I was a part of her whole journey coming to the Lord, and she was a part of our university ministry at University of Minnesota, and then later hired her as my assistant at the University Church. We all started together, and great to see you, Kathy. Great to see all of you. If you're a parent with kids, I'm amazed you're even here tonight, because today was the first day of school. Oh my, that's a pretty big day, and God bless you all. We've been talking about calling out to God. We started our Wednesday night services a number of weeks ago, and we launched them with a series on the names of God, because to know God's name is to know His nature. And then we picked up from there these last few weeks talking about, okay, how do we call upon Him if He's that kind of God in all of these dimensions that His various names in the Bible speak to us about? How do we call upon Him? And so we've been calling out to God for help and calling out to God in the face of impossibility, calling out to God in repentance. And this is our second last night. I'd like to talk about calling out to God in confidence. Then Pastor Crystal is going to finish us off next week. I think you're going to talk about peace, right? Yeah, calling out to God. And what a thing when we pray. There's an old expression you don't hear a lot anymore, but I wish we did. It's called praying through. It's more than just praying a prayer list. It's praying through until you just know you have the peace of God that He's heard you and answered. So I'm going to kind of prepare the way for Pastor Crystal next week tonight by talking about praying with confidence. I mean, the thought arrested my heart a number of years ago. What if the people I get to preach to truly turned into, in a humble, reverent kind of way, spiritually confident people? I mean, what if in a humble, reverent way, you just were a spiritually confident person? And the whole idea that God does respond to us, in fact, our theme verse for this series, Psalm 18, verse 6, let's just read it together, says, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and I cried out to my God for help. And from His temple He heard my voice." Now, that's a pretty audacious thing. I mean, who do you think you are? He heard your voice. Right. He made the heavens and the earth. He lives outside the dimensions of time and space. He knows everything. He's incredibly strong. He could, like, squish us without a thought. And yet, you have the confidence that He hears your voice. And that your cry actually hits His ears. His cry comes before Him. My cry came before Him in His ears. I mean, that's either totally audacious and arrogant, or it begins to position us in a kind of, like, absolute confidence. Did you notice how confident the songs we sang tonight were? They were just confident declarations of faith. Because faith itself doesn't put us on thin ice. It doesn't put us on wobbly ground. Faith firms us up. There's something utterly confidence building about faith itself. I found myself just this last year, more and more I'm going back to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, without faith, it's actually impossible to please God. So whenever you read something like that, it makes you stand up and take attention because, I mean, without this one thing, you can't please God because God is very committed in us having a highly trusting, confident relationship with Him. So he says, without faith, it's impossible to believe God. It's impossible to please God because he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. And faith would say, first of all, I'm confident that he's real. Faith, first of all, believes that he exists. I'm confident that he's real. This helps me a lot if I know I'm not alone in the universe. If I know when I pray, it's more than emotional therapy. And it's more than a self-actualized positive thought that may help me cope with life stresses in a better way. No. He is actually there. Faith says he's real. So this starts to build a firm foundation of confidence under me. And not only that, but here's what I trust about his character. Because he can be there, but what kind of God is he? You know, that's the other question. Is he a brutal tyrant? Is he an indifferent God? Is he a God who doesn't feel like he has much time for me? No. He is not only real, but he's responsive. This is what we trust entirely about the character of God. And this is the foundation of our confidence. That not only does he exist, but faith believes that he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. You just carry deeply in your spirit by faith, as faith grows in your life, that you're not alone, that there is somebody who is willing to let your cry touch their ears and touch his heart. In other words, faith in Hebrews 11, 6 is just like the reason behind why David in Psalm 18, 6 can say so confidently what he did. He heard my voice and my cry reached his ear because faith says this, I know he's there and I know he's responsive to me. These are the absolute things at the core. And that leads me in turn to what some of you have heard me refer to as one of my favorite verses, so I'm pulling it out tonight. If I did have to walk to a podium and I had totally forgotten I was supposed to speak, I would probably, unless God really spoke something to me very clearly, this is probably the verse I would pull out. This is the verse that has been just transformation of my own life over the last few years because it's so basic, it's so comprehensive, and it's so confidence building. And it's Ephesians 3:12, where it says, in him, referring to Jesus, he's talking about Jesus there, in Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and what? Let's hear that word again. Confidence. In Christ and through faith in him. Absolutely love that. In Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I don't know if you want to yawn there or not, but I can't yawn there. That's absolutely stunning to me. I mean, no kidding. That is amazing. I can approach God not with reticence and uncertainty, not with guilt and self-doubt, but I can approach God with freedom and confidence. Because why? Because I've got a good track record? Because I'm impressive? No, because of that first phrase, in him, in Christ. Because when you become a follower of Jesus, then God actually looks at you as being in Jesus, in Christ. So he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ, and then as you follow him and as you're in Christ, you become a participant of the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. So there's really two issues at stake here. And I find these really helpful for me when I go to prayer. First of all is the status issue. And the status issue has to do with the provisions of Christ's blood. When you come to prayer sometimes, I want to tell you there are demonic powers that desperately don't want you praying. I find when people come to prayer, sometimes they'll experience excessive weariness. All of a sudden, you get terribly tired. Have you ever felt that? Like, oh, I'm just terrible. Or all of a sudden, your mind just starts racing all kinds of places. It was doing fine until you started trying to pray. Or the enemy will come to you, and he'll start accusing you. He'll remind you of sins sometimes 30 years ago. And the word devil means accuser. And the enemy is especially great at this. And when you start pursuing a life of seeking earnestly after God, and if you start building a confidence that you can pray through because you serve a God who is real and responsive, sometimes the battle to discredit you hits full force. And the enemy's trying to discredit you, but the issue is not you, because you are in him. The issue is him. And the enemy says, look at you. You know, your track record, you think God's going to hear you? Or sometimes you just say, you know, I've sat there and thought, you know, boy, this room's full of spiritual people. It just sometimes feels easier for God to answer their prayers than mine. But all of those things are lies. All of those things are spiritual insecurity that if the enemy, if we live by our feelings, if we live by our self-doubts, if we live by what we are outside of Christ, rather than constantly redefining ourselves in Christ and what that means about us, then we can lose our confidence. But the fact is, our status is determined because we're in Christ, and the merits of Christ's shed blood are what we appeal to. Sometimes when the enemy's really coming at me and saying, you don't deserve this, you know, or God doesn't hear you, or whatever, I want to tell you, I mean, those were battles I especially fought years ago. I think you can grow beyond those. You can overcome that kind of warfare. I don't live in that kind of thing every day. And if you still are living in that every day, I want to give you hope that your confidence can grow because you're in Christ. And with time, we begin to get over ourselves and realize the issue is not me and my merits. The issue is Jesus and his merits. And so I just appeal to that. And his blood washes me clean. His blood has purchased me from the enemy's camp. I have now been translated into the kingdom of light. I belong to Christ. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Did you catch that when we were singing it? This is confidence. It's not built on arrogance or smugness or somehow, boy, I'm really impressed with how I'm doing spiritually this week. No, this is totally confidence that's rooted in Jesus, and either the provisions of the blood he shed for us mean something or they mean nothing. And I want to tell you, they mean something. They mean that your voice can be heard by God because he has qualified us in Christ. In Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. First of all, because that's a status thing based on the merits of Christ. And it's also a strength thing because we not only have the merits of Christ's blood, but we have the power of his Spirit that are intrinsically involved. Now, we've been doing a series on Sunday mornings out of Acts by his Spirit. So you're beginning to think, this is all I know how to talk about. Like the power of God's Spirit, by his Spirit, come on. Every meeting, every conversation, every activity of the day, all week, let's do it by his Spirit. I'm inviting you to take on that as your motto. But believe me, for me, this is not rhetoric. You know? When I said yes to being an interim pastor a year and a half ago, I had another very full-time job, which I sort of finished last week. But, you know, I remember saying to the Lord, I don't think I can do this. And I remember the Holy Spirit just very simply whispering to me, if you would just give me room, I'll carry this for you. And you know what? I just almost felt like, I'm not going to try. I don't even want to risk trying too hard. I just want the Lord to carry this for me. You know, and so God's helped us the last year and a half. At least we're still here, right? And God seems to be doing some wonderful things among us, and we're moving ahead. But that was just kind of the way of God giving me confidence, because I'm in Christ. And so I get to walk in his resurrection spirit. Why not? Why not? I don't know. I'm a very spiritual person. Look, you got to shut out those lies of the enemy. You are in Christ, period. That means the provisions of Christ's blood qualify you, and the power of his spirit can carry you. And that's why when we come to him, we can come into his presence. We can come before him with freedom and confidence. I had a friend who God's really using powerfully today in another part of the world, but I knew him back when he was in his 20s. And I remember one day he said to me, he said, "Jim, you know, I just had such a struggling time in my prayer times. And for him, it wasn't just when he starts praying, he feels all these accusations from the enemy. It was just that, you know, for him, he just, how do I pray? He just felt at a loss, and sometimes he'd just feel extra tired whenever he came to start trying to pray, and he'd feel all that spiritual warfare. And he said, one day the Lord just said to me, rather than looking in yourself for what it takes to really pour your heart out to God, he said, I want you to look up. He said, it was like I was looking at my belly button or something and trying to dredge it up inside of me. And he said, I felt like the Spirit of God said, I just want you to look up, and I just want you to pray, Holy Spirit, would you help me pray today? And I just lean totally on your strength to help me pray. And I'll never forget, he said, that was a game changer for me. He said, it began to transform my prayer life. Because, you know, actually the Apostle Paul would agree with that. Because he said, sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he, when we just yield to him, sometimes when I start a prayer time, and you know, especially if it's early in the morning and I'm barely through a cup of coffee, you know, you don't always feel real spiritual, right? But I've learned how I feel isn't that important. And what I'll do is I just start pacing and praying. I won't put a lot of pressure. I won't condemn myself. You know, I used to condemn myself, oh, Bradford, if you're spiritual, you'd really, you know. And sometimes I am really hungry to pray, really hungry to seek God. Other times it's just kind of like I just feel ordinary, right? And I used to beat myself up for that. You know, we have all these artificial metrics and just so that we keep falling short. God wants us to come to him with freedom and confidence. So you learn how to just win those internal battles. And so I don't, you know, I try, but I don't like cross that line where you're striving to make something happen and beating yourself up because you don't, you know, it's coming hard that day. You know, some days it does come hard. We're in a spiritual battle and we're very ordinary people. But sometimes I just pace and pray. I just start praying in tongues. I just start praying in the Spirit. Just yield to the Spirit. I say, Lord, I just need your help. Would you just give me your heart? I'm not honestly the greatest prayerless person in the world, but sometimes I just like to just to come and just give God some time and just pray in the Spirit. And just say, Lord, I come on the merits of your shed blood. I thank you that it's not me, but it's you that qualifies me. And I ask for your Spirit. And just begin to yield to the Spirit. Just give God some time. And I've had prayer times that by the end, I didn't want to leave them, even though at first it was a little bit of effort getting into it. But what you do is God has given us the Holy Spirit. And the enemy always wants to point, oh, you don't do that well. You know what? Just tell him to shut up in Jesus' name, the enemy. And you know what? Get over yourself and start focusing on the fact that Jesus has washed you by his blood and he's given you the power of his Holy Spirit. That covers the grounds of status, the status we need to think that my voice could reach his ears, and the strength we need to press through the spiritual battle and come to his heart. And if you give God some time, if you say, Holy Spirit, just help me pray. Just pray through me. Just Lord, I just yield to you. I don't even look to my own strength here. I just ask you to help me pray today. Would you just give me your heart? And then just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just begin to praise him. And just before you start making prayer requests, just yield to him and just love him and just make room for his Spirit. And it's amazing what a little time and a little just opening and yielding to him can do. And his Spirit can begin to build us. I just believe every one of us can pray with freedom and confidence. This is what Paul said. This is why I love Ephesians 3:12. To me, it's kind of the whole thing. It's in Christ and through what? Faith in him, right? Remember faith, believing he's there and that he responds to us. That great confidence builder faith. Through in Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Say those last words, three words with me. Freedom and confidence. So what if you were a spiritually confident person? Just think of the hell you could attack. Just think of the prayers you could pray. Just think of the faith that could move mountains.